Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome back to a new episode of American Muslim Project. I'm Asad Butt. American Muslim Project is a podcast where we share what Muslims are talking about in the U.S. over the past week or so, the stories that are important to them. We've got a great show for you today. But first, let's start with the major headlines. And of course, everybody in the community is talking about what's going on in Palestine. The latest, which I'm sure is changing by the time you hear this, is that Israel launched strikes on Rafah, the southern city of Gaza, coinciding with the Super Bowl. The attacks killed dozens of Palestinian citizens. These are strikes on the one place left that was supposed to be a safe zone. And there's no stoppage in sight. Meanwhile, that devastating story of Hind Rajab, a six-year-old Palestinian girl who was missing for 12 days after an Israeli tank targeted their family car in Gaza. She was found dead, murdered by Israel, along with the bodies of two medics dispatched to look for them. The Palestine Red Cross Society published an audio file in which Hind could be heard pleading on the phone with a member of the rescue team. Just a really devastating story amongst thousands of similar stories. Meanwhile, here at home, Palestinian Americans continue to be attacked themselves. Zakaria Dwar, a Palestinian American man in Austin, was stabbed recently near the University of Texas campus. Luckily, he survived. Bert James Baker, a 36-year-old, was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon after the attack. According to reports, Baker rode up to a truck that Dwar and three others were in after a pro-Palestine protest. He then opened the doors and yelled racial slurs at them. And after a fight ensued, Baker pulled out a knife and stabbed Dwar in the rib. Like I said, he survived, luckily. The attack meets the definition of a hate crime, according to police, which is great to hear. And here's a clip from Dwar's father calling for politicians to see the humanity in Gaza and in the Palestinian Americans here in the U.S.
I really stand here begging and asking for city councilmen, for the president, for the mayor, for Greg Abbott, to call for a ceasefire, to call for an end for this madness. This hate that's going around need to stop. If y'all took action 3 months ago, nobody would have been hurt. This has come to hunt us in our homeland. It's come to hunt us in the U.S. It's come to hunt us in Texas. This is not acceptable. And I beg you to call an end for this madness and stop the genocide in Gaza. We beg you to take action. Look at the human side of it, please. This is not just about Zechariah or me or our beloved brothers in Vermont or Michigan. It's about humanity everywhere in the world and humanity in Gaza. Please take action immediately and stop the genocide in Gaza.
So all of this stuff, all this hatred doesn't happen in a vacuum. And we wanted to highlight two things in the corporate media world that a lot of Muslims are talking about. The first is an opinion piece published in the New York Times on February 2nd and written by Thomas Friedman. Friedman asked his readers to look at the Middle East through the lens of the animal kingdom, comparing the U.S. to an old lion, Iran to parasitic wasps, and Lebanon, Yemen, and Syria and Iraq to infected caterpillars. Just wild, racist, and xenophobic tropes. He said in the article, "We have no counter-strategy that safely and effectively kills the wasp without setting fire to the whole jungle." Lots of people on social media were commenting about this, but this wasn't the only story that day that drew the ire of our community. The other thing was this Wall Street Journal article calling Dearborn America's jihad capital. You can't really make this stuff up. The opinion piece by political commentator Stephen Stalinsky in the Wall Street Journal made that reference about Dearborn being America's jihad capital because Muslim leaders in the Michigan city were siding with Hamas, allegedly. Shortly afterwards, Dearborn's mayor, Abdullah Hamoud, called on his city's police to increase security at places of worship and major infrastructure. He said, and I quote here, "The unfortunate reality is Islamophobia has become an acceptable form of hate. Those who demonize or stereotype Muslims or Arab Americans quickly find bigger platforms and greater notoriety." He posted that on X. Meanwhile, journalist Mehdi Hassan reacted to the Wall Street Journal article by saying, and I quote, "The same right-wing outlets who warn of rising anti-Semitism, and yes, anti-Semitism is on the rise, have no problem pushing horrendous Islamophobia or anti-Arab bigotry. Can you imagine a headline like this about a predominantly Jewish or Black area of the U.S.? Shame on the Wall Street Journal." Making some great points. We'll talk a lot more about this with one of our guests later in the show. And then, as if all that hate in the corporate media world wasn't enough, celebrities are jumping in on the fun. Actress Selma Blair made a comment online recently saying, and I quote, "Islam has destroyed Muslim countries." She made the comment on a video that disparages representatives Cori Bush and Rashida Tlaib. She also, in the video, called for the deportation of, quote, "these terrorist-supporting goons." She then quickly deleted the comment. Not before, though, actors Michael Rapaport and Deborah Messing also commented on the same video. Rapaport said that he loved it, and Messing wrote, "thank you." This past Tuesday, though, Selma Blair apologized via Instagram, saying that she made a terrible error in her words and that it resulted in hurting countless people that she never meant to hurt, and she deeply regretted this. She went on to apologize to the Muslim community and said that she will do better. Never a dull moment in the world of hate and Islamophobia, that's for sure. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll chat with digital creator Neebs Khan. This is American Muslim Project.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to American Muslim Project. For many listening, you won't find it surprising that many Muslim voices are being silenced or deleted online. It seems to me that almost every single day since October 7th, even before that, someone in my feeds has posted about another Muslim voice that has had his or her accounts banned temporarily or deleted altogether. Recently, digital creator Neebs Khan had his TikTok account deleted by the platform. I asked him to join American Muslim Project to talk about that experience and a whole lot more. Neebs, thanks so much for joining American Muslim Project. Really grateful for you to come. I think I want to talk first about you being blocked on TikTok. Can you tell me, like, how did you find out?
Yeah. So one day I just woke up and my account wasn't there. I wasn't logged in. And I was like, oh, I wonder what happened. And I thought maybe I got hacked. But it turned out that my account got banned on TikTok. And that's... I was trying to figure out what I was doing. There was really no, like, warning, no, you know, indication of, like, which video might have done it. And then I just kind of went back and I was like, what was going on? I noticed that there were some videos that were going viral. Mostly a lot of my stuff that I do is harmless. I post clips of TV shows, movies, sure, my reactions to them, you know, a few takes on Marvel, Star Wars. I really got popular because of Miss Marvel. Miss Marvel was a show where it's a Muslim superhero and she's from New Jersey. Her last name is Khan. You know, she's Pakistani. I'm also a Pakistani. My last name is Khan. I'm from New Jersey. So I'm like, this is perfect. I'm going to go talk about all of this stuff. So, you know, because of that, I got a really big following in the comic community and I go to Comic-Con and stuff like that all the time.
That's great.
And, you know, I wanted to talk more about diversity in media. So, you know, it was a big part of, like, you know, bringing the nerd community together with the South Asian community, with the Muslim community, kind of building us a little corner of the internet. And it was really, really cool. And then things started happening in the Middle East, in Gaza. And I couldn't just not do anything. I couldn't just, like, sit back and, you know, I had this platform that, you know, I somehow got. And it felt irresponsible not to use it to spread awareness to everything that was happening. So that's what I started doing. I started posting about Palestine. I started posting about mainly the media biases that were involved in that.
Sure. Like, a lot we're seeing.
Yeah,
right?
a lot. Where, you know,
getting worse every day.
Exactly. Like, there were people who are, you know, they belong to the same talent agency. And there's people saying horrible things about people in Gaza, like Amy Schumer. And then Melissa Barrera, who is on the same talent agency, getting shut down because she posted a link to a donation site, right? So, yeah, like, it's crazy what one side can get away with and what the other one. And I was calling out a lot of these biases. And I actually went to a few protests. And I think this is the video that got me banned. But I went to a few protests and there was an organization claiming that there were Nazi symbols at this protest and people were saying death to Israel. And I had full video footage of the entire event at Rutgers. I had, you know, I panned the video to every single person and I showed that, hey, here's the clip from the video. There's not a symbol, not a single symbol of Nazi propaganda or anything like that anywhere. There were Jewish people in the stands with us and, like, they wouldn't stand for that. So I was trying, I was proving that it wasn't true, which I'm glad I did. It went viral. But I think a few people caught it
flagged it.
And it was like a coordinated effort to kind of get me shut down. Also saw some other videos that I posted where I, you know, show some of the devastation that happened in Gaza. And some of them may involve, like, you know, people dying and stuff like that. They weren't, like, gruesome or anything, but, like, you know, obviously people were dead. And I think what they did was they tried to get that video shut down and I got it appealed. And then they went through my entire account and tried to find another video to get shut down.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And then I sent an appeal to TikTok and the appeal got rejected and their reasoning was authenticity and integrity. And I don't know what integrity means.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that
I don't know.
Authenticity being...
Authenticity,
I guess...
like, I'm not faking who I am. Like, I'm me.
Yeah, right.
I used to be on the Creator Fund, so my ID, my Social Security, all that information is on there, even though I opt out of the Creator Fund, like, a while ago. But, yeah, I think it just got banned, and I had a bunch of people rally around me. So many people who follow me, they wrote in, they put in stuff, you know, to try to get me back. And they said, no, the decision is final. And they didn't tell me why.
Wow.
They didn't tell me, you know, what video got it taken down. They just took down the entire thing.
That's fascinating. And your content is still up on Instagram, obviously, because I see that all the time as well. And your podcast, none of that has been shut down.
No.
It was just on TikTok.
It's still on Instagram. That's all up on there. YouTube, all the stuff is still on there. Twitter, all the stuff is still on there. It's just TikTok. But TikTok was my largest audience. I had 140,000 followers.
Wow.
I had significantly less on YouTube and on Instagram.
I guess what do you make of it? Like, is it, do you think that you were targeted? What is your reaction now, that a couple of weeks later?
Yeah, I think it was definitely targeted because it was a specific organization at Rutgers. And I'm sure that, there was one kid who was in the video, and I don't know, me pointing out that everything he said was a lie is considered bullying. I don't know if that was it, because I never called him names. I never said anything. I guess I called him a liar, which he was, because none of that ever happened. But I think so. And this all happened like a week after there were talks about like people from Israel. They went to the TikTok office and talked to them because their content was leaning towards Palestine, which like isn't their algorithm. It's just the youth, right? Young kids are just more in line with the ceasefire and the travesty that's been happening there. So I don't know what happened. But I'm not dwelling on it. I remade a new TikTok. It's just the same name, Watch with Neves 2, Electric Boogaloo. Oh, nice. I don't know. It's going to be 2 Watch 2 Neves. I don't know. It's a sequel, basically. So I'm starting brand new. I don't care.
I guess, in that sense, like, are you going to be more worried about what you post?
Because no, because now I have less to lose. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah,
I have less to lose. I don't have 140,000 followers to lose. I have like 137 followers to lose. So I don't really care what happens anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense. The other thing that I want to talk about is after, there were a couple articles in the past couple of weeks about comparing essentially, Muslims to animals. And, you saw it in the New York Times. We've covered it on the show. There was a Wall Street Journal opinion piece that essentially called Dearborn, Michigan, the hotbed or the heart of jihad in America. And you wrote something on Instagram that went viral just talking about how, sometimes you wondered if it was worth it, just kind of this begging for representation. And then you have these two kind of, hit pieces that come out in a matter of days that can just influence so many people in the way they think. I would love for you to share your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So I saw these articles and it just like dawned on me how easy it is to flip the narrative so easily for some people. Like, we've been trying to crawl out of this image that was pushed on us on September 11th, right? And it's something that I've dealt with personally because I actually am one of the engineers. Like, my real job as an electrical engineer, I do control systems. And I worked on the Freedom Tower. I worked on the Freedom Tower when it was going up.
Wow.
And around that time, the Ground Zero mosque controversy was happening. That was a big thing.
For sure.
And I went to work every day and I experienced so much racism in real life, from like blue collar electricians and mechanics and stuff like that. Things like, not holding the elevator for me. So I have to go down all 100 flights of stairs and people boxing me out, making sure I can't get on the elevators and stuff like that. So it's been really, it's something that I'm like really familiar with. I remember that time. I remember how it felt right after like 9/11 and all that stuff was happening. So when these articles come out, it kind of just reminded me of that. And I'm just like thinking about like what kind of progress we made, right? But we've crawled our way out of this image with like shows like Miss Marvel and, things that are happening like We Are Lady Parts and Polite Society. Sure. Yeah. These are great shows that show us representation. And finally, people are trying to see us for who we really are, just humans. And people with one article can just like change that. And then you go on this Twitter, which is like a cesspool. I'm not calling it X, but it's like a cesspool. And like all these people are like, yes, Muslims have low IQ. This is why their countries are horribly messed up. And they're animal. Look at their countries. And like not realizing that like U.S. intervention and colonization and imperialism are the reasons for all of these things happening, right? Like Pakistan in general, like the British looted half the stuff that we have. Africa is being looted to this day, right?
Yeah,
things
are
happening in Congo and Sudan and stuff like that. So people, they just, you see an article that dehumanizes and people just pick it up and they're just like, yep, that's it. And then even if they meet you, they think you're the exception to the rule. They don't think that majority of people are like us. And it doesn't make sense. But like when you go and see the looks on, job incomes and stuff like that, like Pakistani community is up there. Like I think like out of the 15 nationalities, I believe like 7 or 6 of them come from a Muslim country, or at least a country with a decent Muslim majority. So, you know, like, it's cognitive dissonance. They just want to believe that we're animal. They want to be desensitized to the stuff that's happening to us, because if they are desensitized, then they don't have to feel bad, and they don't want to feel bad.
So what do you think is the path forward for us? I mean, I know you were hopeless a couple of weeks ago, and you know, things have been happening, but like, what is the path forward for us as a community?
So the thing is, like, yes, I was feeling very hopeless. I seen so much progress be reversed so quickly. But I'm also very hopeful, because, like, you know, that is one generation. But if you look at Gen Z, they're built different. Like, they have, like, audacity. And I mean that in a good way. Like, they don't care. And they'll speak up to their teachers. They'll speak up to their bosses. Like, they don't care. It's amazing to see. So, like, yeah, it feels hopeless, because there's definitely a generation that we'll never get through. We're never going to get through the boomers. We're probably not going to get to the Gen Y, Gen Ds, millennials. But Gen Z is definitely coming up different. It's really, really cool
to see. Both, you're saying both the kind of the general Gen Z population, but also the Muslim-specific Gen Z
population. No, I mean, the white kids. I think the black kids. I think the Hispanic kids. Like, all of these people are like, no, you know, we're not going to let you sell us this thing that you sold our parents. Like, we're not going to believe it. I've seen videos, the TikToks of people standing up for Muslims, and they're all young. They're babies. And it's really cool to see. It's very, very hopeful. So there is hope out there. So, you know, I think as the generations come, like, when our parents came here, their mode was survival. They're like, we're going to eat this. Whatever racism that comes our way, we're just going to eat this.
And your parents, same as my parents, where I came in the 60s, 70s, 80s type of thing, right?
And then for us millennials, we went through 9/11. So we're like, okay, we're going to have to eat this too. We're just going to deal with the racism. But then you see Gen Z come up, and they're like, no, we're born here. We're just like everyone else. There's nothing different about us. We don't have to worry about survival. There's so much crap happening in the world where we're probably not going to be able to buy a house. We're probably not going to have a big job. So, like, I might as well speak up for what I believe. And I find Gen Z very hopeful. So I do think that we have to keep pushing their narrative forward, even though they keep pushing it back. So, yeah, maybe we're taking one step forward and two steps back, but people are seeing us take these steps forward and take these step backs, and eventually, you know, there will be children and kids and a generation that's going to take these steps back without getting pushed backwards.
And do you think that this role, the role of social media and the ease where people can get out opinions and share what's happening in real time, is the cause of this, in terms of, or the reason why Gen Z is so influential? They're able to see so much with their own eyes without the filter of kind of this corporate media or this, you know, that sense. What is your opinion in terms of why they care so
absolutely
much?
I feel like the Gen Z has lost faith in media, and now they get to see stuff with their real eyes in real time, and they get to see what's actually happening. Like, everything that I've seen, there's no way that's fake. Like, these things are happening. These people are dying. I just saw the other day a little girl's body ripped in half. Like, that's not fake. I've seen people's faces blown off. Like,
horrible,
that's not
sure.
Fake, yeah. Right? You can't manipulate that. And these are innocent people. And it's really, really sad to watch this. And there's really hard for someone to watch that and be like, oh, I don't care about these people. Like, I think it's very telling. When I was, you know, growing up, and I saw what was happening in, like, Afghanistan and Iraq, like, everything was being filtered from the media. We weren't seeing it directly. Right, right. We were like 100,000 civilians died in Iraq. Like, we couldn't feel the devastation of that. We didn't see the videos. We didn't see all of that stuff. So, you know, it didn't, you know, affect people the way this is affecting people now. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's these brave Palestinians out there with cameras taking videos, like, with nothing. And Israel has a $1 billion budget in marketing and propaganda, and they're losing to a couple of kids with cameras. Like, that's not fake. That's the truth will find the people it needs to find.
Neebs Khan, thanks so much for joining American Muslim Project. Where can people find
you? Sure. You can find me everywhere at Watch with Neebs. Neebs is spelled N-E-E-B-Z. On TikTok, it's Watch with Neebs 2, since the first one got taken down. I also have a podcast called Salam Nerds. You can find us on YouTube, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere podcasts can be found. We kind of talk about Marvel, Star Wars, reality TV shows, a little bit with a Muslim and South Asian, reference. And we try to be in a very inclusive podcast. So if we are talking about things like Black Panther, we'll make sure that people have people from that community on there. If we're talking about Blue Beetle, we'll have people from that community on here. So that's the goal of our show. Awesome. So we really, really love to give voices to people who are normally ignored.
Amazing. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have links to all of Neebs's current accounts in our show notes. Hopefully none of them will be deleted. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about how some people in Hollywood are trying to combat Islamophobia. This is American Muslim Project. Welcome back to American Muslim Project. Now focusing on some stories from FON, our website that promotes Muslim arts and culture. In our first story, in a recent op-ed in the Hollywood Reporter, Sam Gill, the president and CEO of the Doris Duke Foundation, poses the question, how can Hollywood stop reinforcing negative sentiments towards American Muslims and Jews? He specifically cites a 2022 study from the University of Southern California's Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism, which found that across 200 television series, 87% did not feature a single Muslim with a speaking role. Meanwhile, this year, of the 10 films that are nominated for Best Picture at this year's Oscars, only one features a self-identified Muslim in a meaningful, non-stereotypical role. That's Rami Yusuf in Poor Things this year. And just to note, Yusuf himself was not nominated for an award. Gill also writes that the best way to fight hate is to prevent it from taking root in the first place. We will have links to that article in our show notes. Definitely check it out. That's going to do it for this episode of American Muslim Project. American Muslim Project is a production of Rafaleon Media. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Email us at info@rafaleon.com. Special thanks to our guest today, Neebs Khan, and thanks to our producer, Ari, and thanks to you. Until next time, I'm Asad Butt. Well, that was easy.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.